Pretty close-knit family here, but if you don't know my name's Daniel, if you're visiting for the first time here. I just was asked to share a little bit. I kind of missed the rules. I was supposed to share one highlight, but I had like five, so I only have 5 minutes to share five highlights. So I'm going to try to make this quick, five-ish minutes. But when I look in Scripture, all I see is Christ's love for us. And just over the years, I've come to realize that love is just far more than just a feeling. That love and commitment are two sides of the same coin. You really can't have one without the other. And as I look at Christ's love, His commitment towards His church, as courting or whatever terminology you want to use, Bonnie, God has given me a love for her. And on this trip, just seeing her serve, just more affirmation upon affirmation and peace, just serving alongside her and wanting to continue to serve alongside her. I want the word love to be tied into the biblical meaning with commitment. So one of my highlights is serving alongside Bonnie and asking her if she would continue to serve alongside me for the rest of my days in marriage. And so I asked her an important question, and she said yes. Austin texted me a few nights ago wondering if he could use that as his highlight. So I don't know if that's changed a little bit, but you can throw your spin on it. Just a few other things. There's just so much that I would love to talk about. One is God really truly answered our prayer of church unity. I was going to say team unity, but I think church unity is far more appropriate, because I saw this unity, not just with our team of however many went to China, but I saw the unity with the garage sale, the prayers. It wasn't this like jealousy thing, or these people and those people and we're going to stay behind and this elite. No, it was all of us just coming together in unity and in prayer, knowing that we're all just such a small, weak link without Christ and without each other. So just with the garage sale, the prayers, and then just the flight over there, and just the team unity that we had, I really feel like it was a miracle. I've been to Southeast Asia a few times, and sometimes it was a bunch of churches coming together, and sometimes we really struggled for team unity. You know, you got to see the uglier side of who we are. But this time, I just feel like God really just answered the prayer of team unity, even when our flesh was weak and tired and we were sick or whatever the case may be, just team unity. You know, Christ, He said in John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And it's my prayer, it's my hope, that even though we can't speak Chinese, Mandarin, that they could see our unity, that they could see our love for one another, that hopefully is my prayer. And it's more than just a hope. It's a biblical truth that people that don't know Christ will look upon us and see that love for one another that we have. And so I just hope that goes forward, even though that we couldn't speak the language. Another highlight is Jason, the man in the picture. He's the missionary that has dedicated his life to this people group that we were serving. Just seeing him share, he just shared with passion. I mean, he let his hair down when he was hanging out with us. We didn't have any hair, but he, so to speak, when he was just around us, he joked, he was funny, he was laid back. But when it came to the gospel, when it came to reaching the unreached, when it came to sharing with people who have never heard the name of Jesus before, you could just see fire and passion in his eyes and in his voice. And it's where people looked up. They listened. They engaged with him. You could tell that the people's wheels were turning. And so just seeing him share with such passion was one, encouraging, and also two, convicting for the people here, for my own life, to share the most beautiful gift and love of all time. And so that was another highlight. Where am I at here? one specific village, I don't know, I forget the name of the village, but this one specific village is kind of discouraging to go from village to village and just seeing such strongholds on the people, such oppression. I mean, you could just see it in their eyes. You can just see that they were truly oppressed, that you could see anger, you can see just bitterness, you can just see that they didn't have what we have. And it was discouraging. But yet we came to one village where Jason has been working. He's been planting seeds. And this village was completely different than all the other villages. And even the dogs were happier. You know, the dogs would come up and I could pet them and everything. The kids were happier. They were more engaging. Brother Jason, he had a friend there. He spent the night in this village. You could just tell that the gospel was taking root in that. So that was one of my highlights, just knowing that this is actually for real and it actually works. The gospel works. It liberates people from their sin, their selfishness. And just to see that in that context was a huge highlight. The last thing is, we were skating in the city. I wasn't skating. I can't skate. By we, I mean Austin and Cole, but as they were skating, a group of 200 to 500 people came around, and after that, Jason started sharing the gospel with the people, and then after that, we started singing, "How Great is Our God," and a few other trips that I've been on, it was more, I wasn't relaxed like I was this trip. I was on edge. I was nervous. I was trying to get books in to where they shouldn't be according to the world Bibles. But this trip, it was good, and there was peace. Not that those other trips weren't good, but just to sing that song, "How Great is Our God," and sing with me, even though we were singing in English, you could just tell that the people were engaged, and to sing Father, Son, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Just to sing that in a closed, restricted country where you're not supposed to share their faith, just to sing that out in the open, out in the public square, was just another highlight. And so those are my highlights. So, yeah. And my tag team and Bonnie.
I'm just going to read it because I get very nervous when I have to talk in front of people. But getting engaged was definitely a highlight. After serving in the villages and walking around, and I had sandals on and my feet were dirty, and it was just a long day, but it was a good day. And just to go on a walk with Daniel and then to have him sit down and just talk about serving with each other, and to have him start washing my feet and ask me to marry him was awesome. Thank you all for your support and prayers while we were in China. The Lord used this trip to stretch and grow us all, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity I had to be a part of it. During this trip, the Lord grew in me a deeper love for the nations, as well as a stronger conviction to boldly proclaim the gospel. I also was very encouraged by seeing how the Lord is using the missionary family there. During the week, we traveled into smaller villages in the mountains where the Yinisu people group live. Not being able to speak or understand the language was challenging, but our translator and missionary guide made it possible for us to share. When we would share, Jason, the missionary, would talk about our God as the Most High God, that He is the most powerful and most great. The greatness of our God was impressed on my heart as we took the drive from the city where we were staying to the villages up in the mountains. The landscape was incredibly beautiful and sparked praise and adoration for the one who created it all. We were able to sing "How Great is Our God" as a group a couple of times to the Yi people and some others that we met in the city. It was so awesome to be able to share a song about the splendor and majesty of the one true God with people who didn't know anything about Him. Jason was able to translate after our song and tell them what we were singing about. One of my favorite days was when we went into a village and a woman came up to me and asked for me to go help her in the field. After I figured out that's what she was asking me, a few of us walked over with her to her field where she was growing peas. She was very friendly and kind and let me carry her woven basket that had a headpiece attached that would rest on the forehead and a basket, a big heavy basket that went in the back that they would carry. We searched for and picked the peas that were ready, and while working alongside this woman, I was able to pray that just as the Lord had shown mercy on me and plucked me out of darkness, that he would also do this for this woman and her people. Psalm 65 says, "Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, and to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you chose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with your goodness of your house and holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the people, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain, and they shout and sing together for joy."
I was already considering redoing everything I wrote, and since Daniel blew mine out of the water, I'll go ahead and do that. For the third perspective on the engagement, Daniel asked me, "As the creeper that I already am," he said, "to hide behind a rock and film the whole thing." And it was creepy, and I was almost compromised by a growling dog at the end after she said yes, so I sprinted back to the hotel after stalking them to get there. So, I did change my highlight, Daniel, and I'll get to it. Genesis 2:8, that's before the fall of man. That's before sin entered the world, when man and God were living in the garden. God told man, "It is not good for man to be alone." And God showed me that. God taught me that over this trip through my highlight. My highlight was seeing the people in the villages, just seeing all of them, their faces, seeing them work together, and seeing the compassion they had for us and for each other. They worked together as a family because they had to. These people's lives are getting up 7 days a week, working sun up to sundown in their fields. It started raining at one point. We all started running. And then they ran into greenhouses and they started working more. Like, it doesn't stop for them. And that work, we were all sore the next day for working an hour or two. This is what people do all week, nonstop. And seeing the unity they had and the compassion that they had was my highlight. Because I think that's what we forget as a church sometimes to do, is to just come together and be a family and work together for the need. For the mission that's set before us. So I thank everyone for the garage sale, for helping out, for us coming together. That was awesome to see. For everyone who helped us go, for everyone who went by helping us go, and for everyone that prayed for us along with the prayer calendar, or just however. I had a very nice flight. All of you who were worried about that really long flight, I enjoyed it. Seeing them work together and their faces, meeting people, making relationships with people, we were able to plant seeds for Jason to go back to these villages and hopefully to make disciples there and eventually a church to be created. That's definitely my highlight. And God taught me just not to be too prideful to admit that we need each other. Because we all tend to try and do everything on our own and figure things out on our own, but God put us together, all of us in this room right now, because we do need each other. That's what the church is for. We come here to help each other and build each other up and better prepare ourselves for the mission that God's given us. And so just to not have that pride in my heart to try and do everything on my own, as I saw these people just working together wholeheartedly. And I kept envisioning seeing them working over their land, as God gave them dominion over this land in Genesis as well. To see them going out every morning, to picture them going out with an eternal purpose given by God, to work this land, not just to eat, not just to make money, but as an eternal purpose, they could be going out into these fields to know that that's a possibility for these villages. That's just amazing. And Daniel also stole my verse I wanted to share. It was John 13:34-35. So I'll just go ahead and make that the trip verse right now, and then I'll read it, so maybe it can stay in your minds. John 13:34-35 is Jesus saying, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we got to kind of live that out, as Jason said, in the villages. We got to live out the gospel by loving the people and loving one another, and that's not something I don't think they'll forget, these random white people coming into their villages trying to speak their language, but seeing that love and that true joy that we had, I think it planted seeds for God to just work in their hearts.
Hey guys. So, first of all, this was just an awesome trip, and one of the best things for me was just each person, John, Susie, Austin, Bonnie, Daniel, like even Austin, even though I live with them, we've been best friends since we were 8, but I got to know every single person better, like more in depth, especially Bonnie and Susie, but yeah, just getting to know them a lot more, and just like Daniel said, the unity in the trip was really just amazing. That, I mean, we never really got into any argument or anything. I don't know. So thank you guys for all the prayers for that. And it was just always, no, it was always fun. It was always, just the unity was great, seriously. And just a personal highlight for me, as you saw probably in the slideshow, me and Austin were like skating with the kids. That was a time when Jason, he went to go share, and the rest of the group, we all did, but there were boys and they were kind of distracting, so me and Austin took them off and skated with them, and it turned into all the kids coming and we're just skating with them, just teaching them how to ride skateboards. I don't know, they've probably never seen skateboards before, and for me, you know, I love skateboarding. I've done it for about like 10 years, over half my life, and it was just so awesome to be able to use that and just teach these kids how to skate and skate with them for God's glory. And there was one specific time when we were about to leave, and the same little boy that you saw in the picture that I was riding, the same boy, he kept trying to ride my board over and over. And we were leaving, and he grabbed my hand, and I was just thinking to myself, like, oh, you know, not really. I mean, I've been with him, like, this whole time. He kept riding my board. He just grabbed my hand. But Jason saw, and he was, like, really excited. I could just tell he was super excited. And he later, like, talked more about it, and he was saying how he had been to that village before, and it was just him by himself, I think, and he didn't get much progress. The people were, I don't know, but when we were all there, and me and Austin were skating with them, it just gave more credibility to his message, and how he put it was just living out the gospel, or sharing the gospel with our lives, also with him preaching it and with his video he had, but sharing the gospel with our lives. It was just super awesome to get to do that in China. And then something God taught me was just a lot more in depth. He showed me just the need for the gospel globally and how that's his heart, and the whole purpose of God is for the purpose of the world and God to bring glory, just from everyone, to bring glory to God. And just really like experiencing the Inisu culture and the China culture because I've only experienced American culture my whole life, and being able to go there and experience it and live with them, and just knowing that these people, especially the Inisu, have close to zero access to the gospel, something that my whole life pretty much I've always known about God, of the Bible. I've always known, not that I've always, my whole life been a Christian, but I've always known, and these people have no access. And really a lot after, since the trip, I feel kind of convicted that during the trip I didn't feel more for them. But even after, just thinking back, these people have no access. And just, God really showed me that. And even though they're a completely different culture, I know they still need the same exact God that we all need. So that's something that God just taught me more in depth.
People can't even see me behind this thing, so I'm sorry about that. My highlight for the trip might seem a little odd at first, but just stay with me and hopefully it'll make sense at the end. There's two things that really stood out to me on this trip. I mean, there really are so many, it's hard to narrow it down, but John said 5 minutes, so I told him I was going to try not to preach. So I'm going to try my best. Maybe I need my head covering or something. The first thing that I kind of noticed it on this trip was that we'd asked people constantly as we saw them and we shared with them. We said, "Can we pray for you? Can we pray for you?" Some of them had illnesses, many illnesses. Some of them just, it's a hard life working the field. You never stop working. There's no retirement there. You either work or you're dead, because they have to eat and work all the fields. But no one that we asked if we could pray for said yes. Everyone said no. And that was just a very different experience for me, because here, even in the States, if people aren't believers, even when you ask, "Can I pray for you?" everyone has accepted prayer. They don't see anything weird about it or anything harmful. So that was one of my highlights. And the second one was, we were sharing in this village with this lady, and she invited us into her home, and she gave us popsicles and tea and fruit and so forth. And she was being very friendly, and that was the lady whose clothes we tried on. And we actually had a picture with her, but I'll tell you about that later. So we did all that, and then we got around to, okay, we're going to share. And so Jason asked her, "Hey, do you want to hear about this Most High God who created everything and so forth?" And she said no. She didn't want to hear it. And so we're like, okay, what do we do now? So we're like, we'll just do it anyways. And so Jason started sharing with her, and she literally started to cover her ears. She did not want to hear it at all. And Jason was like, no, just for a moment. And she was kind of like sitting there like this, kind of like when you're watching a scary movie, but you're not watching, but you are watching. So she was kind of doing that, and I was just, we were all praying the whole time, listen, Lord, work, Lord. We were just praying as he's sharing. But those two things were the things that stood out to me the most. And afterwards, she said no, not to pray for her. And afterwards, after we left, we prayed for her, but not while she was there. And I know that sounds odd, that those are my highlights, but the reason why they are my highlights is because I saw just the amount of spiritual warfare and the strongholds that were there. And that was very encouraging, because when you see that kind of hardness of heart and that kind of almost rejection to the gospel, that's where the gospel's needed the most. And so it kind of just told me, hey, we are on the right track, because these people, you could see them when we shared, they would go from very accepting to starting to say, no, I don't want this anymore. And sometimes they'd be, yes, sure, we want to hear about this. But when we said, do you want to accept Christ and follow him? They'd say, no, I can't do that. And so there was just this battle in people that you saw, and that just showed me that, hey, we're doing something really awesome here, and that God is at work, and he's starting to win these people over. He's starting to work in their lives and kind of till up the hard soil of their hearts. And so that just showed me that the analogy I kind of said is, or the metaphor, I guess, is that we're in enemy territory, right? This is definitely Satan's territory, and we just felt it and saw it. Christ is not known there. God's not known there. They're like you saw the temple, they go and they bow before those gods, all the different gods. If you want, you know, strength, you go to this god. If you want good crops, you go to this god. If you want something, you go to that god. And they're just in bondage to these idols, and they have them. I don't know if you could really see on one picture. They have them on their doors even. When you enter their house, they're supposed to keep the bad spirits away. And so you just saw that everywhere, that people were just kind of following these false gods and in bondage to them. And so I was just excited to know that we were somewhere that was very dark, because we had the Holy Spirit and we were bringing that for the first time to some of these people and the message of the gospel of Jesus. And so I just love that, because there have been trips that I've been on where you go and then you come back and you say, you know, what do we really do? You know, you kind of feel like, I'm not really sure what we did. There have been great trips as well, but there have been a trip or two that I went on that I came back feeling like maybe it wasn't the best use of resources or time. But this trip, I was just, I didn't want to leave. I was like, I mean, I want to see my baby, but I didn't want to leave, because I just wanted to keep at this work that's happening there. And so just encouragement to y'all to keep praying for the Yimisu and for Jason and their other team members who go out and they have to face these just huge obstacles every time that people don't want to hear. They don't want prayer. They think that Christianity is a Western thing, even though it started in Asia. So there's just all these things that are stopping people from accepting the gospel. We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than all of those things, and so just pray for that to continue to make ground there, and that they would continue their work and not be discouraged. And thank you guys again, seriously, for your generosity and your prayers. I definitely felt your prayers. I was very at peace about Elisha, and I told John to stop bringing him up because he kept bringing him up. but I was very at peace with him, and I just felt that kind of just that cloak of prayer over our time there in our lives, that we were all safe and for the most part healthy and just able to work and just have the desire for those people, and just that we could be such an encouragement to the family that's working there, that we got to see them. They're good friends of ours. It was very hard to say goodbye to them. So just keep them in your prayers. Anytime you think of China, you see something that says made in China, just pray for the Yimisu people and so forth. Just little things like that that can keep it in the forefront of your mind. I would just encourage y'all to do that. And just thank you for all the prayers that you have said and the work that you have done. And now I'm going to let John come up and share his highlight. And hopefully I didn't steal it.
My highlight is based on a passage of scripture I shared with our team last Sunday. A week ago today, we sat at McDonald's and had a miniature church service and read this passage together. In Romans 15, Paul says, starting in verse 18, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ." And then here's the kicker, verse 20. "Thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written," and here's the promise from Isaiah 52, he quotes, "as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." So verse 20 for me was the highlight. We got to do what Paul said was his ambition. We got to do among the Yimisu people. He got to, his ambition was to go to Spain and preach where there was no preaching, and we got to go to the Yimisu people where there is no church and there is no, there really are no believers. Jason is coming in and out of these villages sporadically, and we got to come alongside him in that work of sharing the gospel where Christ is not named. And it was my highlight because it was so heartbreaking It was really two things. It was heartbreaking to do that, and it was exhilarating. It was heartbreaking because what I began thinking throughout the week was, these folks have never heard the gospel, which means all of their ancestors probably have never heard the gospel, and which means there are so many other villages. We only went to five, and there are dozens and dozens of villages across this area that have these people in them, and we only went to five, and that means there are hundreds, if not thousands upon thousands of people who have still never heard. It's heartbreaking because if you believe the Bible, then you believe that there is an eternity waiting for those, an eternity in hell waiting for those who don't trust Christ. And so if someone never has the opportunity to hear the gospel, then they never even have the opportunity to respond to Christ, which means they're born, they work hard their entire lives in those fields and surrounded, like Bonnie was saying, surrounding by the glory of God's creation, just working day in and day out, born, live, die, and go straight to hell without ever hearing Christ. Doesn't it compel you to pray and to give and to go and care about what Paul cared about and what seems to be the theme of the entire Bible, that God is calling a people from all the peoples, and I don't know what will. There are people perishing, church, who will never hear the gospel because we're sitting in our churches all over the world, not just in the West, but maybe here especially. We're sitting here very comfortable and very, very satisfied with the status quo, and people are going to hell and never even hearing the gospel. Should not be. That should not be. It was also exhilarating, though, and this was a big highlight for me, just exhilarating to see people for the first time, even if they didn't want to hear, like Susie was sharing, even if they didn't want to hear, to see people hear. Dozens of people got to hear. They got to hear Jason explain the gospel from the Creator God making all that we see, to sending His Son, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the call to faith and repentance. They got to hear all of that. Dozens of people. And so now, dozens of people, and many more through Jason's ministry, will have the opportunity, do have the opportunity to respond and be saved. I know that many will respond because of this promise here in verse 21. Those who have never been told of Him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. There are people among those people who will come to faith in Christ. There are people who will be saved. The church of Christ will be planted among those people. One of the things the Lord taught me, and I know we're out of time, but I'll try to keep this short. One of the things the Lord taught me at the very end of the trip, really, one of our last days there, just the simple truth that the only reason that I'm a believer and the only reason why I'm a Christian is because of the grace of God. As we ended the trip, Jason took us up where that temple was, and we walked through, and then we prayed at the end. We sat on the stairs and prayed as he played that song that you heard, God of the City. He just played that over us, and we prayed for the city and for the people. And I was just completely broken by this thought that there is no one like our God, because none of us deserve to be saved. I have lived a life of rebellion against my Maker. And yet, as a 7-year-old boy in a little bitty podunk town that no one's ever heard of in East Texas, He plucked me out of the fire. He set His grace upon me. Why on earth did I have the opportunity to grow up in church, to grow up in a Christian home, to hear the gospel repeatedly, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, through my parents? Why on earth did I have that opportunity? And ask yourself this morning, why on earth did you have that opportunity? Is it because you're better than these people? Is it because you're more intelligent? Because you're a Westerner or whatever? No, not at all. The Bible in Ephesians 2, and I want to read this quickly, makes it very clear why we are saved and how. Ephesians 2, you were dead
and your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all, Chinese, American, everybody in between, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the mind and the body. In other words, doing whatever the heck we wanted to do because we were our own king. We were carrying out our own desires, and by nature we were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then verse 4 is why we are saved, if you are saved. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, that's eternity, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So what struck me as I sat there that morning on those steps was this passage, really. It struck me that the only reason why John Cypher is not also worshiping idols and expecting idols and maybe my own self-righteousness to save me is because God, by His grace, raised me from the dead. He set His love upon me. He sovereignly said to a little boy in a broken family in a small country town, He said, "You're my son. You're mine. I love you." Poured out His grace on my life. And I'll just simply remind you this morning that if you're saved, it's not because of anything you've done. It's because of the sovereign grace of God. He set His grace upon you and said, "You're mine. You're my daughter. You're my son. Come home. Come be with me. Come be in my family now. You don't have to follow the prince of the power of the air any longer. And you're not a child of wrath any longer. You're a child of my grace." I was so broken that morning because of that thought that there is absolutely nothing that any of us can do to make ourselves right with God. And also because of this other thought that after we are saved and God sets His grace upon our lives, He then has work for us to do. Verse 10, to close out Ephesians 2, that passage I just read, verse 10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Why? "For good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them." So God saves us, He raises us, He sets His grace upon us, He creates us in Christ. Why? For good works. For things like going to China and telling people who've never heard about the gospel. But for a thousand other things too. For things like tonight, today, you're going to see your father, and maybe you're estranged from your father and you have no idea where he's at with the Lord, and you don't even have a good relationship with him and don't even care to see him, but you are in his life, and so therefore you have the opportunity to share and be the grace of God in his life. That's a good work that God created beforehand that you should walk in it. Or this week when you go to work and you're surrounded by people who are complete pagans, and all I mean by that is they don't care and they don't know about the one true God. And so you're in their lives. And so you're there to like we've been saying, to live out the gospel and to share the gospel with those who don't know it. Things like VBS, this thing we'll do in a few weeks where we'll get to have little kids come into our facility here. And we'll just get to play games and love on them and teach them about Jesus, the Most High God, right, who can save them and be with them forever. God has created us to do so much. I just want to close this morning by asking the simple question, what are you doing? If God has set His grace upon your life, then what good work are you pursuing? What thing are you going after? What are you giving your time and your talent and your energies to do? One of the things that struck me, Susie texted me this morning. It was so convicting. I was just telling her that I was very sad, actually, just so much lostness over there and just kind of sad to be home, knowing of the great needs that are over there. And she just simply said, lost is lost wherever you are. And lost equals hell, wherever you are. Okay? So we hear that, church? That's what the Bible says. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to die and be separated from Him forever. It's not scare tactics. It's not me trying to you know, say something to scare people towards Christ. It's just what the Bible says, that if you don't know Christ, if a person that doesn't know Christ, if your mother or father, brothers and sisters, if your family members and friends and the people you work with don't know Jesus Christ, they will die and perish forever. Whether they're in the south of China up in those hills working the tobacco fields, or they're in your office tomorrow morning, people need the gospel. Amen? And we've been saved to share and show people this awesome gospel. We pray that we would be a church that takes this task very seriously. That we take our task seriously, and that we don't see as like it's a super special thing to go overseas, when the reality is all of us have a role to play, whether it's overseas or right here, right now. I want us to close. Daniel's going to come up. I'll ask Daniel just to go ahead and come. We're going to sing that song that we sang a few times that the guys have mentioned, How Great Is Our God. And it was a beautiful thing to sing about the greatness of our God over a people that have no idea who He is. Many of you in this room do know who He is. You know God through Christ. But we're going to sing about this great God of ours, the Most High God, or Shangdi, as you would say in China, the Most High God. We're going to sing to Him about Him. And during this time, I want to encourage you, if you feel compelled, will you just use this time to pray in your own heart about what God would have you do? What would God have you do? How can you share and show the love of Christ? How can you share and show the gospel of Christ to those you know that God has put in your life? I'm going to even ask some will be compelled to pray for the Enisi people. These altars are open. Come up here and get on your face before God to pray for those people who still have little to no access to this gospel. So as Daniel plays, we're going to stand and sing, and I want you just to pray and ask God to show you how you're supposed to be a part. And if you feel compelled to come down here and intercede on behalf of those who don't know Him across the world and right here in our own lives. Father, thank You for this time. I pray, God, that You would please help us. Please help us to be good witnesses, to take seriously our calling to be ambassadors. We know that we can't do everything, and it's foolish for us to attempt everything. But as a body, You have given us different gifts, and You've given us different abilities. You've given us different talents, different resources. I pray that You would use us and all that You've given us to bring glory to Your great name, to share and show the gospel of Christ to those we know and among the nations. Father, make this church, make Preston Highlands Baptist Church a missionary church, where on the forefront of our minds always is how can we reach people for Jesus. Help us, Lord. And as we pray right now, would You guide our prayers? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice.